T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pete, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, let's start with Ohio State, man. You know, obviously, Ohio State, last week we talked about it. Could Cincinnati hang in there? It's been forever since an Ohio team was competitive with Ohio State. They just toyed with, I wouldn't even say toyed with them. They just demolished them. It wasn't even a game. Were you surprised that Cincinnati didn't even hang in there at all?
No, I talked this week. I'm a elitist. I'm a Power 5 elitist who believes in you should beat a Group of 5 team if you get that chance. So if you've got a Cincinnati, go for it. Beat them up. Show them that you're the team that's worthy of playing in the college football playoff. And they did that. They played great so far, and that's exactly what you wanted to see out of the first 2 weeks out of the Buckeyes.
You know, Pete, this weekend they travel to Indiana, first Big Ten game of the season, first road game of the season. Obviously, the Hoosiers are, you know, they've been kind of a middle-tier to low-tier Big Ten team for a long time. You know, they got this quarterback, Penix, who's can run and can move around quite a bit. Any chance that that Ohio State could struggle here?
Well, we still haven't seen what happens yet when Justin Fields has to go through any adversity on the field. I mean, at least with the Buckeyes. I mean, it's been smooth sailing so far. They've just been able to out-athlete everyone else. I mean, there's so many weapons. I mean, the receiving corps is so deep. Dobbins is so good. Everything is right there. Yeah, there's a chance Indiana can have some fun with this just because they've got a pretty good offense. They've got some offensive balance as well. They can keep it a little bit closer, but still, if you're Ohio State, it's really just about focus at this point. They've got the pop and explosion that Indiana doesn't really have. Penix is a little bit hurt. They can be a little more of a challenge, but no, if Ohio State loses this, it's because they're gagging.
You know, you talk about the balance, and you look at the wide receivers of Ohio State. My God, Pete, where do these guys come from? Like, I'm watching every single – they're like, this is a new freshman, and they're all getting behind the defenses. They're all making circus catches. You know, Brian Hartline's their receivers coach, who's a hell of a recruiter as well, is doing a good job with that group. It's incredible just to see the athletes, and heck, they just lost two receivers to the NFL last year.
It's a pipeline, and that's – you know, you can see it among some of these coaches, other coaches that are out there. Like, you just know that Lane Kiffin a couple weeks ago and Luke Fickell last week were like, yeah, this is great. Give me those guys. Let me take over Urban's program, and I'll show you what I can do with it. And nothing against Ryan Day. I'm sure, you know, he's going to turn out to be a great coach, you know, over the next several years and, you know, keep this all going. But it also helps when you inherit a heater. And that's kind of why we were talking about this before the season. There's no honeymoon period. There's no, you know, there's no, well, let's get acclimated to the new guy here. It is win the Big Ten title, beat Michigan, go to the college football playoff, or else your season doesn't work. And as they're showing, at least over 2 weeks, you know, yeah, they're just that good again. And the problem for Ohio State, though, going forward is, you kind of mentioned that Indiana, okay, that they might have an offense. They've got a quirky team. Okay, yeah, but that's, like you said, kind of the lighter team in this group. Now Michigan State's got an offense. I still think Michigan's going to be pretty good when all is said and done. Penn State's looking great so far. And now you got Maryland, which at the very least, you know, gave Ohio State out a whole slew of problems last year. And now at the very least looks amazing to start the season. So it's not going to be an easy road for the Buckeyes. It's not like they're, you know, Clemson in the, you know, ACC Atlantic. They're going to have to play some teams to do this.
Yeah.
Pete Futek, College Football News with us. Speaking of not an easy time, Pete, Michigan did not have an easy time with Army. Army took Oklahoma to overtime last year. They now take Michigan to overtime. They couldn't win either game. But, man, they're a really good team right now, it seems. Are you surprised that game went to OT?
Yes, I actually am. I thought Michigan, although here's the weird part about it. I actually thought Michigan's defense was going to shut down the Army offense, and it actually did. It gets lost in the narrative that Army's offense didn't exactly work. But, man, that Michigan offense was so bad. It just was so scattered. The fumbles, the mistakes. I'm going to chalk it up a little bit to being, one, week two, and two, Army just makes everyone play weird. Because when they're going on these nine-minute drives, even if they're not doing anything or going anywhere, the way they operate that offense, they can just eat up the time without a problem. And then when the other offense gets on the field, they just press. And it's like once you get the third down, it's like, oh, my gosh, we better get this. We're not going to get the ball back again. And yeah, that seems to be what happened. So I'm going to cut Michigan a little bit of slack on this. But, all right, now with 2 weeks off, go out and beat Wisconsin and all is right with the world. Or if Michigan loses to Wisconsin, and again, those teams I listed off before, Michigan State, Penn State, Maryland, you still got all those nasty games to go, then all of a sudden looks like scary time for the Wolverines.
Why do these teams keep scheduling Army? Like, unless it's the first game of the season where you can prepare for the triple option, I would never schedule Army like second week or third week of the season. It just seems like you're doing yourself a disservice as a program to bring in. I mean, listen, nothing against the military schools, but they play an offense that's quirky and it takes time to prepare for.
Here's the thing to remember: Army's only been good for a couple years. When these games are scheduled, remember it was Navy that was killing everyone with its offense. And Army sucked. Army was just bad. Jeff Monken comes in, and all of a sudden this thing starts to work. So it's only been the last few years that Army's been this decent. Before it was a cupcake time. You know, now it's not anymore.
We're talking with Pete Fewtech, College Football News. Pete, let's take a look at some of the big games this week in college football.
There are big games
involving. Well.
Nah, not really.
I'm trying to find one.
It might be the worst college football TV schedule we've seen in like a couple of years.
It's a good point.
It's not good.
Yeah, I'm so used to saying that.
Something weird. But that's usually when something funky happens.
Yeah, there's no games of ranked teams playing each other. Not one, right?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Syracuse, for that. Yeah, that goes to the point where Syracuse-Clemson is sort of the big one still, because let's see what happens. I mean, Syracuse still has those velociraptors on the outside of their defensive front that can get in the backfield.
Yeah.
How did they beat Clemson 2 years ago? They knocked out Kelly Bryant. How did they come so close last year? They knocked out Trevor Lawrence. The one thing that can screw up Clemson is to get Trevor Lawrence hurt. And when you've got a pass rush like Syracuse's, this is the scary game, because obviously that's the one thing that can't happen. Because you look at the rest of the schedule, there's a real honest shot that if Texas A&M, for example, loses a couple more games, that Clemson goes into the ACC championship game without having beat a team that'll be ranked in late November. You know, so this is an easy schedule. So they just can't get their main man hurt.
What about Florida-Kentucky? Is that potentially a good game?
Yeah, the problem is with Terry Wilson now out for the year, the knee injury for Kentucky. They do have this guy, Sawyer Smith, former Troy quarterback. He is a veteran. And Kentucky's just a strange team because they don't really do anything well. They just sort of hang around and win and come close to beating good teams like Florida. Now, it was 35 years before Kentucky was able to get Florida, and then they got him last year. If you're Dan Mullen, you can't be the head coach at Florida who loses 2 years in a row to a Kentucky team that hadn't beaten you since 1985. So this is a big game for Florida. This is where, you know, the Miami game was a little shaky. Okay, last week didn't have a problem. Now this week, SEC opener, just don't lose to Kentucky. Just come out there. They lost their starting quarterback. Pound away a little bit. Now Florida's a little banged up too. But if Florida's really one of those teams that wants to be in that discussion to potentially win the SEC East, win the SEC, and even be in the college football playoff, this is a game that's got to take down, even though kind of like Army in a sort of weird sort of way, Kentucky's got its style that's sort of hard to deal with.
Pete Fewtech is with us on the hotline. Pete, there's three teams in college football that are household names. Florida State, Tennessee, UCLA, all have been big-time programs over the years, but all really kind of in a tough spot right now. What's the deal, and can they turn it around?
They all have one thing in common. They don't have an offensive line. And that's where, if you want to talk about the difference between inheriting Ohio State if you're Ryan Day or inheriting Florida State when you're Willie Taggart, taking over UCLA when you're Chip Kelly, they had nothing on any of those three offensive fronts. Jimbo Fisher left the cupboard completely bare on the O-line. both lines at UCLA were just nothing. They were getting crushed by everyone's running game on the defensive side. They had no running against White. Part of the reason why Josh Rosen threw it a million times. They had no offensive front UCLA. And the same thing at Tennessee, just bad luck in recruiting. They recruited great at Tennessee, and either the guys didn't pan out or injuries or a whole slew of other problems. And all three of them can't get anything going up front. And that's the hardest thing to fix. You can scheme your way around a lot of bad parts, and you can find a quarterback from in your recruiting class or come up with some defensive style that can mask a lot of problems. If you don't have five guys up front who can play at a high level, that's a problem. That doesn't excuse losing to Georgia State and struggling against ULM and not being able to score if you're UCLA. Yeah. But it still kind of shows the overall problems with why they can't get their respective programs going quite yet.
Hey, Pete, is Maryland legit this year? I mean, it was an impressive victory over Syracuse. You talked about it a little bit, but you know, they are on Ohio State's schedule. They're ranked in the top 25. I think it's got to be the first time in a little while that they've been ranked this high. Are they a legitimate threat this year?
Yeah, at least they're dangerous. I mean, it starts with if they their biggest problem is they've never been able to keep a quarterback healthy for the last 5 years or so. They've just had such a bizarre array of injuries at the position. I mean, they've been down to the fourth and fifth string quarterback at times over the past several years, including last year they had a quarterback problem as well. If they can keep Josh Jackson healthy, he was great at Virginia Tech in his freshman year, was hurt last year, transferred over. If he stays in one piece, he's got the potential to be one of the Big Ten's better quarterbacks. The scheme is working. Again, you saw that last year with the Buckeyes. They've got guys who can hit the home run. That scheme was a killer against Syracuse last week. And even more so, their defensive front was great at getting in the backfield. They dominated that orange backfield. If they can put that all together, they're not going to win the Big Ten East, but they can be good enough to beat anybody in that division and conference on any given day if that scheme's working right.
We're talking with Pete Futek from College Football News. All right, Pete, so you said all the games stink this week. Give us an upset. Give us one ranked team that you think is going to get taken out this week.
I can't find it. I've been searching for the...
How about Pitt over Penn State?
No way. I can't get there either. I've been trying all week, like you said, to make something quirky happen. I kind of
Stanford over UCF.
Yes, that could happen, but I'm not predicting that either. To your point, I can't predict UCLA to beat Oklahoma. I'm not there. There's a part of me that kind of thinks at some point the offense is just going to click. That it's going to Joshua Kelly's back and got a little work last week. Eventually, we still don't know if the Oklahoma defense is any good. I mean, it beat Houston and South Dakota, and now all of a sudden everyone wants to give Jalen Hurts the Heisman. Oklahoma is going to win the national championship. The defense for UCLA has been okay so far. Again, I can't predict it, but that's just one of those moments that's a little quirky. And then maybe Syracuse really does have it. You know, Tommy DeVito, if he goes off and has a perfect game, and if that defense can hold things down, it's their first sellout in the Carrier Dome since the Donovan McNabb era. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. Last week was the big game against Texas A&M. They got beaten up a little bit. Maybe Syracuse can throw another curveball at them for a third straight year and make it interesting.
All right, Pete. Good stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.